In our series on leadership that I'm doing at the moment.
I spoke
about the abdicating leader, the guy who doesn't lead.
And I
said Ahab was a good example of that. Ahab allowed Jezebel to take
over.
So he's an example of non-leadership.
And
the fruit of non-leadership was
disaster.
And God calls each one of us to lead
somewhere.
You can't just sit back and let life push you.
Then
we saw another kind of leader. The insecure leader. Looking at King Saul. And when he was supposed to be ordained as the king of Israel, he was hiding amongst the baggage. And sometimes we want to run away from responsibility. But God calls us to actually carry a responsibility.
And
our personal insecurities, rivalry, jealousy, competition, those things get in the way of moving forwards. And I explained how often when you're not being promoted or you're sidelined on the bench,
it's
because God wants you to deal with your insecurities. You shouldn't hide behind your personality. You should learn to recognize where you're being insecure. And how you repent of it.
If you've
been comparing with other people, feeling inferior or feeling jealous. The problem is your eyes are on yourself. And you need to put your eyes on God.
And
trust Him with your future.
And
then take up your task for Him. Get on with what He's called you to do. Don't worry about someone else's gift or someone else's job.
And
last week, some people said after I preached about insecurity,
that they
felt like they had insecurities. They thought they were okay, but now they realize they're not okay.
That's
fine. Because when God shines His light,
it's
because He wants to expose things to help us to work through them.
And today I'm
going to preach a bit about the great hope of working through
stuff. Because
I want to show you how God changes
people who sometimes
feel inadequate, they feel they're not up to the task. But God can use us anyway. But we have to meet with Him in order to be changed by Him. So we saw the insecure man like Saul. He surrounded himself with other men he could control. Or strong men that would prop him up. Protecting him instead of the kingdom. A secure man surrounds himself with very different kinds of people. In fact, all different types of people. Jesus, when you look at his disciples, they came from all different walks of life. Unschooled fishermen, tax collectors and businessmen. Different economic levels, different education levels.
Karazana economika isa karazana ar karazana fena utanoe samiava ni avun fenarana ntiavun.
So the issue of team.
Kalewe reza kaya ekipa zanya niula namzai.
And who's around you?
Slewe isa munman titna nao.
Is very important.
Desavat le ben faitana zai.
So I want to look at David today
and
talk a bit about David and the people around him. And I've often spoken about David's mighty men. I love the stories of David's mighty men. The whole Philistine army was coming against one of them. Maybe I'm exaggerating. It was lots of Philistines. Certainly one little raiding party, a strong contingent of many Philistines. And everyone was running away from them. But the guy from David's team, he looked at the things they had planted, the lentils. Lentils. Beans. He says, they can't have our stuff. And he planted himself, he stood in the field. And he fought them off. And he killed many. And he kept his ground. Another one of the mighty men. Apparently, he killed something like 600 people or 800 people in one battle. I don't know how long that must take. But that's some serious combat stamina. So, how did this happen? Where did the mighty men come from? Last week I told you that when Saul was appointed, valiant, brave men went with him. And it made no difference. Because he was insecure, he was looking at everybody else. Something very different happened to David. What happened in David's life story was he came to Saul's attention. When David fought Goliath. And David couldn't even fit in the armor that he was given to wear. So he wasn't big like a soldier. But Saul was big. He stood a head taller than everyone else. David fought without armor. He just went and killed Goliath with his sling.
Nandeniad Le ananin futsa no napesain le piltra what am pilt.
And so Saul noticed David, and because of his insecurity, he brought David close under his control.
And
David got better and better. Saul got more and more jealous. And in the end, Saul decided to kill David. Now, David should have been easily able to stand up to Saul. But in a week, a moment of fear, he ran away. And he literally went on the run. He started hiding in different towns. In 1 Samuel 20, it starts with, "Then David fled, he ran away." In the next chapter, then David goes to a guy called Ahimelech. And he's asking for a weapon. The guy says, "Sorry, you ran away without a sword." And David's like, "Yeah, the king's business meant I had to be quick." He's making some story. And so the other guy says, "I've only got the sword that you took from Goliath." And David said, "Well, there's no sword like that one." Maybe David's saying, "That's a great sword, let me take it." I want you to see where David's life is at, how bad it seems. He's on the run. He's afraid for his life. He's trying to solve his own problems. He's looking at his past and saying, "Wow, well, when I killed Goliath, I got that sword. Maybe I can go back there and get that. I doubt he could even swing that sword. It was probably so big."
And
then he goes to another king. King Achish, or whatever his name is. And the guy mocks him.
Says,
"Isn't this David that supposedly killed his thousands?
His tens of thousands."
And David gets worried again. And he feels now this king will kill him too. And so he pretends to be dala-dala mad, crazy in the head. He even dribbles on his beard, he spits. And so the king doesn't take him seriously, says, "Ah, who's this crazy guy?"
So
all the time, David's been trying to solve his problems. First by running away from them. Then by looking at the past, Goliath's sword. Now turning to an alternative king, and even that one, it doesn't work out. And we get to 1 Samuel 22, verse
1.
And read 1 Samuel 22, verse 1.
Alo zerevatsika ny Samuela voalohany toko faharoa amby roapolo teny andininy voalohany. Ary Davida niala teo ka nandositra nakany amin'ny zoiny Adolama. Ary nony nandre izany ny rahalainy sy ny mpianakavindrainy dia nidina tany amin'ireo.
So David's ended up in the cave of Adullam.
Te neferanta fida zantunga tane amni zuini Adullam.
He's not in a town, he's not in a city.
Tsiana tanande beza, tsiana tanani za.
He's not in a house.
Tsiana trano za.
He's hiding in a cave.
Faniafna tane anaty zui.
That has to be a kind of a low point. So far, nothing has worked. His life doesn't seem to be on the right path. And look what happens in the next verse.
Ary izay mahantra rehetra sy izay mpitrosa rehetra ary izay manana alahelo ampo rehetra dia nivory tao aminy ary izy mitonga mpifehy azy ka dia tonga tokony ho efajato lahy ny tao aminy.
There is the birth of David's team. And if you like, it's also the rebirth of David. Because David finds himself hiding in a cave. And he feels all alone. Then something happens. And then these people come. I'm going to talk about what happened in the cave. And I'm
going to
talk about what God did. Who did God send to join David? Those who were distressed. Those who were in debt. They were discontented themselves. Their lives weren't very settled. Everyone who was bitter in soul, they were gathered to David, and he became captain over them. Like lots, 400. So it's an army, but it's not an army. I mean, it's a bunch of losers. At my worst time, at my lowest point, God sends me a bunch of losers. What did God give to Saul? Stature. Valiant, brave men to go with him. What did Saul do? He stayed in his nervousness and his insecurity. Where is David? He's fearing for his life. There's a lot of nervousness there. He's tried a few solutions, but they weren't solutions. Now he's hiding in a cave. And something happens. He comes to some realization. And he actually wrote it down for us. In Psalm 142.
Okay,
read Psalm 142.
Ny feoko no hitarainako amin'i Jehovah, ny feoko no hifonako amin'i Jehovah. Loarako eo anatrehany fitarainako, ambarako eo anatrehany fahoriako. Raha reraka ato anatiko ny fanahiko dia fantatro ny alehako. Eo amin'ny lalana izorako no nanafenany fandrika hamandriany ahy. Jereo eo akavanana. Kaizao, fa tsy misy olona mahalala ahy, foana avokoa ny fiarovana ahy, tsy misy miainy fanahiko. Mitaraina aminao aho, Jehovah, hoy izao, ianao no ariko, sy anjarako eo amin'ny tany velona. Enoy ny fitarainako, fa reraka indrindra aho, vonjeo aho amin'ny mpanenjika ahy, fa tsy leoko ireny. Avoay hiala amin'ny tranomaizina ny fanahiko, mba hiderako ny anaranao, anodidina ahy ny marina, satria manisy soa ahy ianao.
I think there's a huge lesson in here.
Tena izaho mieritreritra hoe misy lesona ngeza be mihitsy ny eto.
And David thought so too.
Dei Davida ihany koa ny eritreritra an'izany koa.
Because that psalm at the beginning, it says it's a maskil, whatever that is. And I'll tell you what it is. The very first words.
Voalohany indrindra eo, dia miteny izy hoe maskila.
Now that comes from some Hebrew word.
Io avy amina teny Hebreo ny fin' izy io.
Which means it's a lesson.
Dika lesy dia hoe lesson.
You, a lesson you learn, something that teaches you something. So David is saying, this was my lesson. I went to the cave. I was feeling all alone. Fearing. And I called out to God. And I called out to God. Rescue me. And this was, it was amazing to me, because when you're under pressure, what do? I think David, when he went into the cave, it was all about him. I got no friends. Everybody's against me. I'm not strong enough for this battle. Where are you, God? I'm all alone. There was someone else like that in the Bible too. Elijah. Right after he killed, after Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal, Jezebel got so angry with him that his own faith wobbled and he ran away. And he also ended up in a cave. And he wrestled with God there. There was the wind that came past and all the manifestations. And God said, I'm in the still small voice.
But
Elijah had to have an encounter of God. Like David had to have an encounter with God that turned him around. And what Elijah said was wrong. He said, I alone am left. It's me on my own. There's no one else that's supporting you, God. I've got no allies. I stood up for you, God, and now they want to kill me. And God almost rebukes Elijah.
And
says to Elijah, actually, I've kept 700 other prophets or people who worship me.
That's
a slap. It's like getting punished.
So it's
like, don't be stupid. Don't be so self-centered. You're not the only one who worships me. There are hundreds. Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
And
come out of the cave
and
get on your way. Advance in the purposes of God. I think David had a similar experience. He went into into the cave fearing for himself.
And
now here's where the leadership comes into it. God sent him 400 losers.
It's
like, you think it's bad with you? You're not alone. You think your life's bad? Look at their lives. And in crying out to God, David realized that God's answer was to send him those people. And what happens after that is the beginning of the glorious story.
Because
they begin to band together. They start to go out and attack. And raid here and fight there. And at the end, we read of these amazing mighty men. The Bible speaks of the 30. And the three who were not part of the 30, but they were with the
30.
And when you add up the numbers, you find out there were about
37
of the 30. So it gets very confusing. But we realize that there were these strong men that came out of that, the beginnings was the cave of Adullam. But it began with David calling out to God. He took his eyes off himself and he put them on
God.
And he stopped feeling sorry for himself and started building with the people God gave him. You could be part of a team like the musicians here. And you could be having a bad day. Thinking, oh, where's my life going? And then God says, well, look at the losers around you. That's a joke because I know our guys here are not losers. But the problem is when you're sitting here and you're dreaming of being on a big stage with the bright lights and all the fame. And then you look around you.
And
you've got a torn drum. A piano that's got keys that don't work. And I want to remind you, that's where the mighty men come from. They emerge from that kind of a context. It's when you look at the people around you and say, these are my people, I'm going to build with these people. A real team player or team captain doesn't tear down his team. He builds with them until they become something. And there are teams everywhere around us. The Bible is full of people who worked in team. And life is full of teams. A husband and a wife are a team. If you put your eyes on God like David did, even if you're in the cave of Adullam, and you look and you say, oh, God gave me this woman. Or maybe she's saying, oh, God gave me this man. If you're like David, you say, I'm going to take this gift. It's not the brave and valiant one that went with Saul. It's a broken human being. And you say, this is my team. And it's us together against the world. I'm
going
to build her up, or I'm going to build him up. Until they become mighty. That's what David did. He was given those in debt, those discontented, those bitter of soul. And he was given a revelation from God that it's not about you and just your promotion. It's about how you use your life to build up these others. So who are the others around you? Your colleagues at work. Your children, your parents. What God says to you is build that team. Don't criticize them and say they're losers. Bring words of affirmation. Words of faith, words of boldness. That's your team. You aren't going to get another one. I could look at the elders and then I think, oh, you know, Lord, it would be great if we had some really bold guys, because I'm not so bold. And God says, no, you've got Craig.
And I was like,
oh, but Lord, he's a quiet guy. And God says, with that quiet guy, you are going to be a team of mighty men. You look at your husband and your wife. Don't grumble in your heart. You see, no matter who God gave you, they may be full of weaknesses and faults and flaws. So were those 400 that joined David in the cave. When you put your eyes on God, they can become the mighty men. When you come to understand that idea of team, it's us together. This is who God's given me. This is what we're going to fight with. We're
going to
work together. God blesses that. But if you want the perfect, the glory, the fame, the finished product, remember Saul. He got the valiant men. He got the strong men. He never turned to God and he never amounted to anything. Who's God put around you? Look for the 3, look for the 30, they're there. You just have to bring that out. Encourage them. Build them up. Keep moving forward with God.
Yes,
I'm
going
to end there. Heavenly Father, you're a miracle worker. You take broken lives and you make them spectacular.
Tena rais non fiaina na putputkia de to no ma talanzun.
Help us, Lord God, to walk with you.
Ampiuzai tumpandremantro yaramande amnau.
And to go building up the people around us.
Ananganandreula mantitna nai.
To see how you can make mighty men out of weak, miserable, discontented people.
Baitanaiwe, utane wona no anovana andreula malem. Tsy misavatra isakarazana tsy mety eo amin'ny fiainana ho lasa mahery.
The ones you sent David in the cave of Adullam.
Tahaka andreo izay sasany nalefanao tany amin'ny Davida tao amin'ny zoin'ny Adullam.
Help us to see what David saw.
Ampio izahay ahita ny zavatra hitan'ny Davida.
So we can achieve something magnificent for you, Lord.
Mba hahafahanay mahatanteraka ihany koa zavatra tena mahatalanjona ho anao, Tompo.
In Jesus' name.
Amin'ny anaran'i Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.